decided to come to St. Lydia's tonight, what were you seeking? Whether this is your first time here, or whether you've been coming to St. Lydia's for a long time, what hunger are you hoping to satisfy by being here? What I'm really asking is, what do you need? I want to invite you to sit with these questions as we consider the events of Palm Sunday. The story that we just heard begins on an ominous note. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. By setting his face toward Jerusalem, Jesus throws off any safety he may have. He knows he's going to be killed. And I don't mean that in some smarmy theological sense, Jesus sets in motion the events of his salvific actions. No, I mean literally, brutally, he is marching to his death. Jesus is about to ride into Jerusalem in a procession that mocks imperial power. Once inside the city, he will walk directly to the temple and challenge the authority of its current priestly leadership. Jesus gets on that colt so that he can confront power with a capital P, and he knows, everyone around him knows, that he will be killed for it. Given how high the stakes are, and honestly, how mouthy Jesus usually is about Messiah explaining things to the disciples, he's surprisingly quiet in this story. He speaks a few scant words, telling the disciples to get this colt. The only explanation he offers is that he needs it. Okay? We've just started.
Welcome, Denise. Good to have you.
I'm sorry, I'm late. No, great to see you. In fact, Luke tells us this twice. First, Jesus says to the disciples, go get this colt. If anyone asks what you're doing, tell them the Lord needs it. The disciples go, start untying the colt, and sure enough, the owners ask what they're doing, and they tell them the Lord needs it. Note that Jesus doesn't tell them to say, the Lord commanded us to bring it, nor the Lord commands that you give us this colt. That would be the imperial tactic, getting his needs met by ordering people around, getting his needs met at the expense of others. Jesus' tactic is the reverse. Rather than showing his power through command, he leads with his vulnerability. I need it. He trusts that the colt's owner will take a risk here, that if they can help someone get a need met, they will, just because they can. Of course, the colt isn't the focus of Jesus' desire. Otherwise, the story would stop when the colt arrives. The gospel would end with a dreamy image of the colt nuzzling Jesus on a cliff while the sun sets behind him and the credits start to roll. No. Remember that Jesus' stated need here is all caught up in this business of untying the colt. Untying, unbinding, loosing, freeing. Ultimately, what Jesus needs, what he needs for himself and his people, is freedom. The colt is both a symbol and a key player in a larger story. You see, you probably know, freedom isn't some state that just magically appears. Jesus needs something to carry him there, and so do we. This Lent, we've been asking, are we safe people to eat with? I confess that I struggle with this question because I know in my bones that Christianity isn't about being safe. Built into the fiber of Christian work and witness is the imperative to risk in a big way. Taking on power with a capital P, just as Jesus and his followers do when they turn toward Jerusalem and step off. Still, the question, are we safe to eat with? Pat's a hunch. It's a real question, a pressing question. Fine for me to say that there is a Christian imperative to risk, but let's be honest. Risk aversion is alive and well in the church, including in progressive churches that consider themselves super queer affirming like ours. And truth is, that risk aversion is precisely what makes the church unsafe for queer people, for people of color, for women, for anyone, really, for whom it is already risky business to get their most basic needs met. The Greek word that Luke uses for need is kreion. It comes up in several places in Luke's gospel. Kreion can be a verb, the act of needing, or a noun, the thing you need. Luke doesn't toss this word around lightly. He reserves it for serious situations. People in need of healing, people who need a physician, lost sheep who need to be found, the sustenance a person needs in order to make a long journey. In the story of Mary and Martha, Jesus tells Martha that there is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen it by sitting at Jesus' feet, entering into sacred space and claiming her spot there. She has taken a risk to get what she needs, Jesus says, and it will not be taken from her. Mary at Jesus' feet, Jesus on the road to Jerusalem, these are pivotal stories in our tradition, and they feature characters who take risks for the same reason, and perhaps the only reason, that people ever take risks, because they need something. They speak their needs aloud, knowing that while doing so openly will make the space safe, will make the space less safe for them, it makes the space a little bit safer for others, who themselves must take risks to survive, to be free. And so I ask you again, what do you need? This past week, I've posed this question to several friends of mine. When you come to a church, when you go looking for a church, what hunger are you trying to satisfy? What do you need? Different people have given me really different answers. One person said, I need to know that God loves me. Another said, I need to know that all this world with its hardship and pain, I need to know that this isn't all there is. I need to know that there's another reality that we're in right now, a reality that can feed me, a reality that is beautiful. Still another friend said, I need to be with people who are a real community, who take care of each other, who work together so that we can all get our needs met. This last person reached for a passage of scripture that has always been central to her, one in which Luke uses the word need. It's in the book of Acts. All who believed were together, and all had things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. This foundational passage describes the community that formed right after Pentecost, painting the clearest picture we have of what the earliest followers of Jesus were doing, what freedom looked like to them, what they believe church is supposed to be. Tonight, we stand with Jesus approaching Jerusalem. We are about to enter Holy Week. What are you willing to risk? I tried asking one of my friends, what would you risk to get what you need? She struggled to answer. But together, we realized it's not the right question. It's too hypothetical. what you're willing to risk is all tied up in what you need. And the obstacles that are on the path before you that are keeping you from getting what you need. And maybe, or maybe, the things you seek, the things you hunger for in community, are themselves the path to freedom. If we can name them, perhaps we can find them together, co-creating a community that is free. Perhaps we'll know how to help make freedom more tangible, more real in the world. The cult physically carries Jesus in a procession that invites people along the road to experience spiritual freedom. These people throw off their coats, the first line of protection against any external threat. They aren't safe in any conventional sense, because that kind of safety, that kind of protection, isn't what they need right now. They need to feel alive. They need to find joy. They need to feel God's love. They need to know that this, the imperial war machine, isn't the only reality that they are part of. They need to know that they are part of a movement, that they are making a contribution. They need to feel their love land and have an impact. In that one moment, when they have all of that, when those needs are met, they are free. Whatever has brought you here, whatever you got you to get up tonight, come walk through that door. That need of yours, and yours, mine, that need is part of a sacred purpose. If we are to be safe people to eat with, our first step has to be to get honest and talk openly about what we need individually and collectively. Naming our needs, exposing our vulnerabilities, working together to get each other's needs met. This is how we can join that procession. Throw our cloaks on the road and try to be the community that Jesus marched into Jerusalem, believing with all his heart we can be. Amen.
Amen.